Good evening, Sutton. Good evening, Palmer. This is Greg with Art in the Valley again, and this is our 10th and sadly last show. I have nothing to say about what's going on this weekend, which is unusual, too. I don't even know if anything is going on this weekend. Does anyone else here know? Guess not.
Well, wait a minute. I believe that there is a an event over at the around the fairground that has to do with the acquisition, the putting land into agricultural trust for into perpetuity. There's going to be a celebration on Saturday.
And there'll be music
and music.
And it's referred to as it begins at 1, runs from 1 to 5 on Saturday the 16th of May. We're talking Potato Palooza.
That's right.
Should be interesting. In fact, I got a note from Red Beat. So it shows you, if you just give a little inspiration out there, everyone can respond.
Right.
So you should go there. Should also mention, because it's two of my favorite people, we have a wedding celebration for Jasmine Johnson, a local artist. And we have a wedding celebration for my son, Walker Gussie. So who could ask for more for the 16th? And then on the 17th, we can all relax. So there we go. So it's not going to be a weekend devoid of anything to do. Hopefully the weather will get better. Did anyone notice the chemtrails over Palmer the other day? No, missed that conspiracy theory stuff. Well, I mean, they really were there, big circles. It was very interesting. There's photographs of it on Facebook, right over Palmer. So, and they look very artistic, blue sky, these big twisting, turning circles of chemicals that dissipated and then became these clouds. It's very, very strange. So whether you believe in it or not, you know, it's like that thing. What they used to say about paranoia, it's not paranoia if they really are after you. So we've already ventured far in the field. And tonight we have Ryan with us, who's going to need a microphone, if you would, please. And Ryan, tell us about yourself and your music, and then play us some.
Okay. Well, my name's Ryan Letty. I'm solo artist today. I play in a band called the High Flying Trapeze, as well as just started playing in another more electronic band, Hands of Treason. But yeah, I'm just going to play a song for you that I wrote. Found this one kind of while cleaning house, so wrote some chords to it and turned out pretty cool. So
before you get right to that, do you have any upcoming public events that you'll be?
Actually, yeah, we have one tomorrow at Klondike Mike's, the acoustic project. It's with Emily Harris and, as they call him, Shane. I forgot his nickname, but yeah, we're playing over Klondike Mike's from 6 to 9 tomorrow. Past that, it's kind of hit or miss. So, yes, but no.
Okay. Well, there you go. Our audience is fairly familiar with Emily Berry. She's played for us a few times, quite successfully, believe it or not. No, actually, she's wonderful.
She's awesome.
Shane hasn't played with us yet. March 28th was supposed to be his day. I wonder. Well, we'll see what we can do.
Right.
Okay, thanks. Go for it, Ryan.
Thank you. Everywhere I go, I'm moving much too slow.
'Cause everywhere I go, I see you. Everyone I meet, yeah, they stop my moving feet. 'Cause everyone I see is you.
Wonderful. Do you ever get a chance to go up to Mad Hatter's and play with Jeremiah Millen and his bluegrass?
I kind of been in the dark as far as music goes for quite some time. I'm just starting like the last probably 6 to 8 months to kind of break out of the shell. So no is the answer to the question.
Well, we're going to be looking for you up there because even though you'll have to play old-timey bluegrass, you've got the style.
So. Yeah, that's one of my little tricks, I guess.
Well, now we can get on to the next bunch. We have here with us John Barton, a famous local artist and professor of the arts, especially known for his printmaking, but it's his ceramic work is, I've always found more exciting, though I never took a class with him on that subject. And Emily, whose last name I've never figured out how to pronounce, so I'll let her pronounce it.
I don't even know if it's worth trying.
Okay.
Jelino Paquette is my last name.
Jelino Paquette.
Yes, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. Emily is an art student and a sculptress. I don't like that word. A sculptor of fine things, and chosen by our little group to do the initial modeling of our statue for the Palmer Art Centennial, Palmer Centennial, which is July 7th next year. And the statue is also a railroad memorial. It's July 7th, 1916, was when the railroad went through Palmer. So pretty exciting how those two things conjoined. We're here to talk about public art and things of that nature. And John, of course, it's got this wry look on his face, like he's going to embarrass me soon, which you guys can't see, but I can. Go for it, John.
Well, I don't know if I'll embarrass you, Greg, but I'll try.
I can do my
own. You can do it. You're quite capable of it yourself. No, we happen to be sitting here in the studio, and I'm looking out at old number 5. The railroad engine that sits out in front of the old Palmer Depot, and just thinking about how the spaces that we occupy, oftentimes we're not fully aware of what it is that is around that symbolizes our culture and the place that we live. But you know, Palmer's kind of a neat place in that we've got that iconic Palmer. Water tower up, I just saw a picture of Greg's last night. It was just a beautiful photograph of this white water tower and the mountain and behind it and the blue sky. And then, this little train out here. And I think that, art in public space is really critical to, for us to have anchors, if you will, to our communities and to our states and to our country and to our world. And I think any chance that we have to promote that and expand on that experience for everybody in a shared fashion is really a great opportunity. And, the notion of this sculpture that Greg has basically conceptualized, if it comes to be here in Palmer, I think it'd be a nice addition. I understand you're saying that there is a master plan from back in
1976
for this strip along the railroad line to actually be a sculpture park. And I can't think of, while Palmer is just this wonderful place, it's very interesting, and it's kind of down home Alaska, if you will. But I've been in other places like Hot Springs, Arkansas, where they've taken an area of the town and they've created a sculpture garden. It transforms the place. And I think that in a good way, I think it adds to it. It enriches the experience of everybody. And I just think it's a great opportunity to, if we can pull this off, it's a great opportunity to make something like this happen. And Emily just, I've had the good fortune of knowing Emily for, I don't know, it was about 6 years now.
Six years.
And She was one of the first students that I had when I started teaching here at Matsu College, and I've had the wonderful opportunity to watch her grow as an artist. And I've kind of, whatever she decides to go after, she does well. And sculpture is really turning out to be something that's caught her.
I have been caught, yeah.
Yeah, she has been caught. She was a drawer and a painter and really quite good at it. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, boy, now she's making life-size sculptures out of ceramics. And they're looking pretty good.
You know, when I first saw Emily's work years ago, I was astounded. It was really wonderful. But it was drawings. And who knew what was under that facade. Oh, and speaking of looking out at number five, of course, that is, if you look past it, just a few feet, and about 16 feet up in that space, do you see my statue?
Well, actually, I do, Greg. I do. Really.
Yeah, that would be where it is. So we can simply look out and let our imaginations go until we actually form this for other people to view. And Emily, so this will be your first foray into public art.
Yeah, this is kind of a scary, exciting, crazy adventure, and I'm really proud to be part of this and to have everyone in this committee really have the confidence in my abilities, and so I'm looking forward to really putting my skills to the test and making something 4 or 5 times bigger than I could have imagined making even a couple months ago. So this is fantastic.
Well, we're pretty excited. Of course, another thing is to bring young people into the process. I mean, it's pretty easy to find some established artists somewhere, but I think it's better to, for us anyways, to discover a younger person to produce this art for us. So John has given us a good notion. So where would we go after this statue? You know, with that sculpture garden running down the railroad tracks to.
Well, I think that's a really good question, and my experience has been, you know, I work a lot pretty secluded, and I really don't, over the past dozen years or so, I haven't really bothered to do more than work and share it with some friends. And but, you know, in the past, I've made a lot of work and sold it and shown it and had multiple shows and one-person shows and two-person shows and group shows. And one of the things that I found over time is that the really good part about art, aside from being by myself and making it, of course, is the sharing of it, the sharing of the knowledge and the doing it together. And I don't necessarily like to do that all the time, but I like to do it enough. I like to do a little bit of it every week. I think it helps myself and the people that I get to do it with. I think it helps us all grow as we inform each other with our discoveries. You know, we all become more. And the thing I'd really like to see is major community involvement. And I'd like to see, there are a lot of really good young artists in this town and in the valley. There's a lot of really good mature artists. And I'd like to see people working together and collaborating on creating, good spaces to share and, you know, good art to share, and there's a lot of that going on. I think we can do even more. I think it'd be fun to have like a competition. Have some people kind of come along and come up with some conceptualized things for potential public art. I really don't know. I'd love to see a community art center here in town.
No,
I think it'd be a great. Where was that? The Half Moon Gallery that was over here. Mm-hmm. I was driving in today from over by Finger Lake where I live. I looked at that building and went, "Oh man, wouldn't that be a great spot for an arts and agriculture and local culture, charter school. And, you know, I dream about those things a lot. And I just think that however we can work together to integrate the arts into our community and make sure that all levels of our society are enjoying those aspects, the music, the artwork, the drama, all that. And I just think it's a good thing. And I see that happening a lot here. And I find it really exciting, personally.
Well, we had on a previous show, we had a discussion of a location for a community art center. I always wanted to take the old senior citizen building and convert that into a combination of a museum and arts place and a place for kids, a community center, which, yeah, we do have a couple of semi-private notions now in town, but you know, it was only a few years ago we didn't even have a bicycle park. So you know, it's pretty amazing, you know, even for Alaska, that Palmer has no public art, particularly. Well, we have Balto, which is, you know, and we have number 5 out there. I guess we could call that public art, but you know, even Homer has their fisherman's statue, and Seward has that beautiful piece done by Pat Garley, who we hope will be doing this piece too. We haven't got any of those things firmed up yet, but wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah, just be all a local endeavor. But yeah, we need our statue. You know, you go throughout the world, and you know. Well, especially down in places like in Mexico, you'll go into towns and they'll have dozens of bronze statues, even in the poorest little town, to commemorate their existence. And we don't have anything like that here in Palmer. And, I mean, I guess we have natural beauties like, you know, talked about the Byers Peak behind the water tower in my picture, but they're not exactly the same thing as celebration of our humanness.
Well, you know, that celebration is... I had a really good opportunity this last winter to go to Sacramento and work with my daughter, who is a... I don't know, she's kind of hard to define, but she's a musician, artist, installation, music maker, instrument creator type of individual. And she had, last year, she had created this thing called Mobile Sound Lab, which is an interactive installation that that has these little handmade instruments that she creates, and people come and they start playing this installation, and what they play gets recorded onto an iPad, and then it gets looped and it turns into a composition. And from that, she was approached by an organization in Sacramento that acquired a warehouse in downtown Sacramento. I think it's off of R Street or something like that. It's like 2 blocks away from the state capitol. And it's called WALL, the Warehouse Artist Loft. And they renovated this warehouse, and they opened up an opportunity for artists to come live there for, depending on income, for a really reasonable rate. And they interviewed, you know, well over 1,000 people for 160 apartments. And so they approached Liz to put up a sound lab up on the roof of this warehouse. And so I went out and helped her with this installation that she created. It's a structure with a roof on it, and it's got a performing area, and it's all designed to make music on. And there are sticks and stones and bottle caps and whatever on there that people are now playing it. And while we were building it, these people that were moving into WALL were coming up, and they were hip-hop artists or beat poets or playwrights or songwriters or guitarists, choreographers, dancers. And what I saw happening was this whole neighborhood was becoming energized. And I saw this same kind of thing happen in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where they established an arts and historic arts district where things get energized, galleries show up, and pretty soon there are people are showing up and there's this creativity happening. And I see this thing happening in Palmer. I see it happening with this radio station. I see it happening, you know, with people like Pat Garley. And so that's an exciting thing. And when those types of things happen, it can go out of everybody's control, but there's kind of like, it hits a flashpoint, if you will, and all of a sudden something really cool happens. And I see that happening here.
Is there enough mass, though? You know, I was in Soho and New York City went in the same thing of giving artists, almost giving them loft space, allowing them to move into commercial spaces that had been reserved, you know, ground floors, for instance, that weren't considered residential usage. And then I watched, you know, Soho get, which was a, you know, an old sweatshop neighborhood that it basically had been abandoned. And I got to watch the same thing happen in Tribeca, the next neighborhood over. And then they moved that same approach to Greenpoint and Williamsburg and the across the river. And each one of those times, those neighborhoods became gentrified, so much so that, you know, I complain about the Cadillac commercial of this Cadillac going by Finelli's Cafe, which, you know, was the old commie hangout, you know, and not a single person in Finelli's would ever have owned a Cadillac. I mean, it was like the wrong symbol. But suffice, the neighborhood is has become gentrified, and you know, where you could 1970 buy a full, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 foot loft for $20,000-$25,000, you know, by 1980 you couldn't buy a bathroom for $25,000. But the issue I guess I was bringing up is I've seen that work, but do we have enough here? And certainly the other question is, in all those cases there was a tremendous amount of government and public support for the arts. They saw the value of this kind of thing. Do we have that here in Palmer? Does our government, you know, we had Delena on the show, the mayor of Palmer, a few weeks back. I think she definitely would be a supporter, but I don't know if the rest of the city council would ever even dream of doing something like that. Okay, I'll leave it up to you guys.
Well, I think this is a different environment. I think that issue of mass and, you know, the surplus of property and things like that, the types of things that happen elsewhere, I don't think that would necessarily happen here, and it's not likely. But what I do, my gut says and my heart says, that it's the people are likely to create that themselves. You know, if you take Ryan here, for instance, you know, he's been off cloistered by himself, and all of a sudden he comes out and he like whips out this stuff. And we're sitting here, I'm just like, well, where'd this guy come from? And it's not because there's been a government program or, you know, extra surplus property. It's because the people here, you know, I used to like to say when I live in Fairbanks, well, the reason that people get creative here is because the winters are long. We got to find out something to do. But the reality is that for some reason, I don't know what it is, the creativity, it seems to pull, you know, the environment really speaks to people. And I think it pulls it out of people. And I don't know, I don't expect that the state of Alaska is going to come up with any great funds. I don't think that, it appears to me that in Juneau they can't even figure out how to fund the government. So I wouldn't be holding my breath on that. But I think that in spite of that, I think people's creativity and their urge to share the experience is strong enough, they're going to do it anyway.
I agree with you, John. It's people that make it happen. And as a student, I see it happening all the time. You get, you know, one solitary student in a studio and they might produce something fun, but you get five or six of us at 2 a.m. hyped up on coffee and we're all creating crazy stuff and coming up with ideas that go far beyond the studio. And with the right environment, we would all just march out and do something incredible. And I feel like there's a lot of potential for that with, you know, just the young people that I know. And you put together that energy and enthusiasm with the expertise and the connections that we have around this town, this valley. I think it could happen. I think you just got to get that spark, get the energy going, and the funds and the resources will follow suit.
Yeah, I think so. And I, you know, having known you for a long enough period of time, you know, you and I have kind of shared watching that fire catch with students. Really, one of the things that I found worked really well is when I let students know that they had permission to be as creative as they needed to be and that they didn't need my permission. But what I was going to do is make sure that nobody is going to stand in the way in my classroom of them going that way. And I think that you know that.
Oh, you've pushed boundaries, and it's been so successful, and it stuck with us. And I can speak for a number of us that have taken your classes and have been in that, you know, that environment with that push and that invitation to just go and do and be creative and just make our own fun out of it. And it's that fun that makes it worthwhile. And I think as a community, that can be found because we have events all over the place that celebrate that. It's just bringing a bigger, you know, a little bit more to it and, you know, really go for it. I think it's possible.
Yeah, I think the talent's here and I think the creativity is here. And I think there's a good solid foundation of solid people right here in Palmer that, you know, Mike here has been just a pillar. Just this little radio station, you know, some of the best music in the country comes out of this little station. I really like the music choices. I'm like, oh, I like it. I was a big KNBA fan, and I still like them all right, but I'm like, Judy, let's listen to the Big Cabbage.
Well, and it's only here at the Big Cabbage that you'll find me, at least for another half hour or so. And it's about time for Ryan to play another tune for us as we go into the half hour break. And I do need to remind you that this little radio station, which does such wonderful things like has me on with this program, is funded by your donations and your volunteerism. It's a pure nonprofit, and we hope that you you recall that, remember that, and send money. Okay, Ryan. What's that?
Bottom first.
Oh, bottom first. Okay. That clock must be wrong again.
You are listening to KVRF FM, Radio Free Palmer. We are an all-volunteer station. New volunteers are welcome. Email us at manager@radiofreepalmer.org or call 745-8951. Big Cabbage Radio welcomes your help.
To see your face every night when I sleep. Oh, and it still hurts every morning I weep. Well, how does this happen every goddamn time? Give it all to another. chance. Oh, remember what I gave. And I tried so hard to forget. Well, that I gave you all.
You're going to be at Klondike Mike's, you said, tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
With the acoustic project? Yeah. Don't call me sir, please.
Sorry. Yes.
I don't deserve it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is bro cool? Let me do bro.
We can do bro. Okay. I don't mind bro. Dude is a little...
That's pretty facetious.
Yeah, that's. I don't do dude very often. Well, maybe with John Barton I do dude.
You do.
Don't you be duding me, Mike. So we're here this evening with Ryan playing music for us with the acoustic project tomorrow at Klondike Mike's. Emily, whose last name just flies out my head every time I think about it. What's your last name?
Jelino Paquette.
Jelino Paquette. Why don't you just pick one of them?
Because my parents decided I needed both.
Oh, I see. You're one of those children.
Yeah.
Okay. And the infamous John Barton, printmaker, ceramicist, and all around. Now, you're going to be doing some private stuff this year in your studio.
I'm going to put together a couple of small workshops. I'm going to be teaching in the fall at the college, but in the summer I'll put together a couple small workshops, maybe a little hand building ceramic thing or a little bit of printmaking. Not sure yet. I've been cleaning out what I've been stashing in there for the last 5 years, supplies and equipment, and it's coming to me. I'm just...
Speaking of
I'll
renowned,
let everybody know when it's time.
Okay. Well, speaking of renowned, John Barton also does some pretty fabulous photography. He has the notions of color, which is his friend, and
color is my friend.
Color is his friend, and saturation to a science. How did you get on that bent from a?
I think it was when I was about 3 and I fell off the top of the 1949 Mercury car onto my head. Things just never were the same since. I went to back to college when I was in my early 30s, and just kind of stumbled in a photography program. I didn't know anything about art photography, but after doing some black and white work and some color work, maybe like 3 or 4 months into it, I started manipulating the photographic processes. I got fascinated with Man Ray, and you know, so I was doing solarizations and photograms and different things, and then I started drawing on stuff. And I just through the course of the last 25, 26, 27 years, I've just, you know, experimented with what I could make the medium do. I like to take it past some. I like to kind of to dance on the edge between what's surreal and what's not real. What's real and what's surreal. So, and also, I find that as my eyes are slowly failing, and I probably need to get some eye surgery pretty soon, as I need to saturate the stuff more so I can see it. And to quote Greg, he says, God forbid that my eyes ever get better.
Well,
it might ruin my work.
Well, it's true. I've worked quite a bit with Laurie Green, who's a fabulous photographer, and she got her eyes fixed, and she's still a fabulous photographer, but it's entirely different. It's funny how that can be, but you know, she had a limited focus, so we had a focal plane that was it. I mean, there was nothing beyond and nothing in front. It was all at that point of vision, which is pretty unusual. We can't, you know, if you have normal eyesight, you can't do that. You see, you know, a whole depth of field. And with John, you know, the blurrier things are, the better his work.
Yeah, well, when I get my cataract surgery, and if you see it getting clear, just let me know, and I'll put some Vaseline on my lenses and
my
glasses, and it'll solve the problem.
Solve the problem. See, there is a solution to everything.
There is.
Yeah. It's,
there is no box.
No.
That is the first lesson you taught me. It is stuck.
Yeah, it worked, didn't it?
More than anything.
Well, and I can assure you that John is correct. There is no box. It's anyone who tells you in any part of your life that you're limited to some sort of expression or some sort of being or anything tells you that unicorns don't exist. They don't know a thing. There is no box.
That's the best thing a person can do for, you know, and a creative person who understands that is you try to put them in a box and you watch the creative chaos that happens, and it is always a good thing. It is amazing how that works.
It really is.
It's, well, of course, I think that everyone has that creative ability, even if they don't have that aspiration. And it's the box that keeps them from...
That's very true.
You know, that socialization, that box that makes them afraid to go out of their little realm. Silence. We must be talking deep stuff here. Well, John's noted for deep stuff in a sort of Dadaist way. He brought up Man Ray twice tonight. Or wait, no, I brought him up the first time, didn't I?
That's right, Craig. Just call me Jean Breton.
It's Andre. It's Andre. Don't disrupt my sensibilities.
I'm messing with your box.
Well, yeah, you are, because... You know, Andre Breton saved me one time. I was putting up a big exhibition in Soho of, in fact, the first exhibition of Rookwood pottery. And I devised these display cases that were convex. And you couldn't walk by them, even though you couldn't see what was going. You couldn't walk by these display cases without actually feeling nauseous. And I'm sitting there and going, what am I going to do? It's the show opens in 3 days. All my display cases are shot. And then I was reading this Realist Manifesto, and of course, which says if you look at something one way and it doesn't work, reverse it. And so I went from convex to concave display cases, and everything was fine. So all of you folks out there, if you look at something and it doesn't work one way, flip it around. Maybe it'll go. You know, so there for my box.
It reminds me of the Buckminster Fuller line. He was doing a big design project for John Denver at, what was that place he had in Colorado? I forget the name of the place. But anyway, he spent about $1 million on this project that Fuller was designing. And everybody's working diligently on it. And all of a sudden, Bucky comes running out and he says, "Stop." And they're like, "What?" He says, "Stop. This isn't going to work." And they're like, what do you mean it's not going to work? We spent $1 million already. This has to work. And he says, no. The proper thing to do when something's not working, the intelligent thing to do is to stop.
And this is actually very fitting this week, as we have the borough budget going on, and we have this stupid port that we pour millions of dollars into every year. And what do we get for it? We just spend more millions of dollars every year. Was that what you were talking about?
No. But I did. I was down on the coastal trail and took a photograph of the Anchorage port with the Point McKenzie port in the background, and kind of juxtapositioning the two. And I thought, boy, neither of these are much.
No. Which is something, I mean, we're really going off on a tangent, but I was thinking about that the other day. I mean, here we have Whittier, which was always designed to be Anchorage's port, and deep water, no silting, you know, all kinds of cool things, a train that runs into it. And you go, well, why does Anchorage need a port? Who knows? Okay, we can drop that subject now before we get into trouble, because we're not a political station. I do my political shows other times. We'll be interviewed on that at some point. So we're back to public art.
Right.
I see the artists, and of course I also see a lot of jealousy between them to accomplish something, which is kind of strange. It's difficult to get them congealed. You know, we have our Valley Arts Alliance, we have our Valley Fine Arts Association, we have and actually its own little operation, what Pat Garley's doing. And don't forget, coming up is Art on Fire, the big iron pour, which is a fabulous thing that Pat and the Valley Arts Alliance put on at Matty, the museum and off.
Of transportation in Wasilla?
Yeah, industry. Transportation.
Oh, industry.
Museum of Museum of Agriculture, Transportation, and Industry? Yeah. We'll just call it Matty.
Yeah, there you go.
A wonderful place. Sherry Jackson is the director there. And each year they do the iron pour, which is open to the public, and it's pretty fascinating what goes on there. So don't forget that that's coming up here in, I think, June something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's usually around somewhere close to the solstice.
Yeah, I think like just a little before.
Yeah, somewhere in there. But, you know, speaking of that kind of thing, you know, I have been... Yeah, I'm aware of the arts organizations, and I think that each of them have done some really interesting things, and I think there's some good things going on over at the college. The Mactan's Fine Arts Festival is coming up the first weekend of June. It's going to have 20 artists doing 27 workshops, ranging all the way from... there's some poetry. So there's a poetry slam. My daughter's going to be doing a handmade instruments workshop.
Yeah. Sound Lab.
Sound Lab will be there. What's it? Gary Kollitz from UAA, retired printmaker, is going to be doing a printmaking workshop. It's going to be, he rocks it. And then there's a Tom Nixon from Fairbanks, and some of the names escape.
Well, we have Carl Abkin coming.
Yeah,
too.
Carl Abkin's going to be there. He's phenomenal.
He's best painter in Alaska.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on all the time, and I don't think anybody need to be jealous of one another because there's enough for everybody. You know, I was lucky enough to be able to somehow orchestrate a raku firing workshop as a collaboration between Pat Garley, Sandra Cook, Shelley Frankwick, myself, Matsu College, my students from my ceramics class, the high school ceramics students. You know, it was a big thing, and we pulled it off at the Palmer High School. And, you know, people from all over came together and worked it out and made it happen. And it was affordable, it was accessible, it generated a lot of excitement.
It was a fabulous event. It went really well for everybody involved, and I actually wrote a short paper for the Matsu Monitor, really expounding upon that to really let people know that it's possible and it was great, and there's no reason why it can't continue happening and just collaborating.
Yeah, and just like last weekend, they had a fundraiser for Valley Fine Arts Association out of Pats. Mm-hmm. They had a raku firing. You know, I had intended to go. I had grandchildren that showed up unexpectedly, so I kind of missed that. But, you know, there's stuff like that going on all the time. You know, we've got music going on over at Klondike Mike's. I had no idea. I knew there was music downtown, but I'm going to be there. They don't smoke in the bars anymore around here, so I can go, so I can breathe, you know. Yeah. But just the fact that there's live music, you got things out at Mad Hatcher, I wouldn't doubt that sometime you're going to have these musicians that be out here in the courtyard playing with their guitar cases open, and maybe want money thrown in there. I'll throw money in there.
Yeah.
I'll support
that. Wouldn't
that
be nice?
Yeah.
Well, at the Palmer Ale House, I think a lot's going to be happening this summer at that stage Delana built, which is pretty exciting.
And Friday Flings.
And Friday Flings, yeah.
You know, we got local artists selling
Fry
stuff
Fogel.
There. You know, we got music, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not that things aren't happening. I guess my little brain is getting on this thing of the congealment beyond events. And we'll see what happens. I hope that we get a good congealment for statue building. It's
take it one project at a time.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. And one big project.
Yes. Yeah, this is no small undertaking.
No, this is monumental is the term. And it would. I think a lot of people don't realize the economic impact of a statue like this. It said in the papers that a statue like this will get about 10,000 visitors to whatever town it's in just to see the statue, that people go to Homer just to see the fishermen. Pretty amazing. It may be one of the reasons that we see these statues from, towns in Alaska. Every town in Canada on the way here has something. And economics drives, at least in this country, what happens.
Well, and interestingly, when I drop back to this warehouse artist loft down in Sacramento, one of the reasons that the people that have invested in this are doing it is because of the economic impact it has on that area. And what the studies are starting to indicate is that you get that many creative people in an area, it starts to ripple out and it starts to economically spread out. Now, we hear a lot about, you know, the old starving artist routine and all that. But if you take a look at how much art sells for, there's plenty of money there. That I think that's one of the places where our education system is weak and our arts education system is weak, is that we don't work enough with folks to learn the dynamics of making their money. You know, artists have jobs, musicians have jobs. Those jobs are every bit as important as the plumber's job. They're every bit as important as the baseball player's job. They're every bit as important as, you know, an actor or an actress. And so, you know, I think that the notion that artists contribute something of tremendous value, pull your covers up over here. The print on the quilt has been created by a craftsperson. The drawings, the paintings, all the images we look at. We flip through the pages on our computers and we see art after art after art after art. Someone's doing that. Someone's getting paid for that. And it has a value. In many ways, it's beyond value.
It's the part that the politicians don't quite seem to get a grasp of.
Yeah, but I would wager, and this is my speculation, this is my opinion and not necessarily fact, that many of those people have got very strong investments in art, and they have good art collections, and, throughout time, politicians and people in power have collected art all the way from the Renaissance through... Age of Enlightenment, we go back
Greece.
To Rome, Greece, Nazi Persia. Germany, the height of American democracy, the architecture and the art are those things that really are the fiber of our life in so many ways. So,
well, we're in agreement on these things, which is sad because that keeps the discussion to...
Well, I'm sure, Greg, if we just hung out here longer, we could probably find a point of conflict.
Oh, cool. Except we don't have that much time.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have Ryan,
music.
Ryan play
That's even better.
a few minutes, and then we're going to do our sign-off. So, and this has certainly been enjoyable. I appreciate both of you a great amount. And I'm learning to appreciate Ryan a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's always the fun thing, having a new person on the show, is I have no idea what to expect. they don't send me CDs of their million sellers.
I would if they existed, yeah. You asked for a swan song, though, for your going away.
I didn't ask for it.
I did.
Technically, you asked for one, so
yeah.
This will do it, I think.
Okay. Anymore.
dawn has come. I have a new day to be, your little king. But in my wake, with every destruction, will from the shell of this tired man. Yeah, no, I don't deserve half of what I have. Yeah, but I want more. Yeah, so now I leave you. This next goal can end up so bad. Still, I see darkness close behind me. Of my memories, then maybe I won't hurt much anymore. Maybe I won't hurt anymore.
Wow. Well, thank you, Ryan. And thank you, Emily. Thank you, John. Thank you, Mike. Remember to support this station. Remember to support arts in your community. The art is who we are, where we've come from, and in a way, where we're going to go. And we may have dark times upon us here in this state soon, at least economically. And that's not, in fact, that's actually the best reason to support art in your community, because that's a way to lift us out. That's a bootstrap method. So I'll say goodnight to Sutton and Palmer, and goodnight.